So today is the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. So I just thought I'd quickly mention something at the beginning rather than getting straight into the verse. Is that all right, Nandanan? Niskinchana? So Narottam Das Thakur was one of our wonderful acharyas. We have this vision of him as very youthful, exuberant, wonderful personality. And he wrote one song that we sing every morning. What song is that? Guru Puja, Guru Vandanan, yeah. And that song is put in this book, Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And this book describes sadhana bhakti, from service of the Guru to meditation on Krishna and Vrindavan. It's a very small book, and I used to always have a copy. One of my friends stole it off me recently, so I don't have it to hand. but that book is extremely wonderful. And one time, some aspirant devotees went to see Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and they said, "We want to become pure devotees. How do we do it?" He said, "You go to the marketplace and you purchase Prema Bhakti Chandrika for 60 pice, or 20 pice, something very tiny, and you read this book." So I think I always keep a copy with me, and I think that after you've been a devotee for 20 years or so, you can keep this book with you. And if you ever forget what Krishna consciousness is about, you just read this book, and it puts it all into focus very sharply. It's very definitive. It goes stage by stage from Guru Vandanan, worship of the Guru's lotus feet, to the very highest meditation in Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur, he was mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy, he started calling out, "Narottam, Narottam." And later devotees asked him, "Who is this Narottam?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he will come in the future. And what he did at the time was write all this very advanced Gaudiya Vaishnav theology and philosophy into hundreds of songs in simple Bengali language. And so he was a big preacher there. And he resided in Vrindavan with his guru, Lokanath Swami, and their samadhi you can see in the courtyard of Radhagokulananda temple. They're both together there. It's a nice place. You can also see in that temple the Shalagram Shila that Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami with his thumbprint. You can ask the pujari to bring it. He'll come and show it to you. And there's a beautiful deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and that's Narottam Das Thakur's deity. He worshipped Lord Gauranga, like this nice small deity. Okay? Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Please be sympathetic with me as we go through this purport. Hare Krishna. This is the beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti, and this is a fascinating part of the Bhagavatam. We've just finished the 7 chapters which introduce us to Srimad Bhagavatam, where the story of how the Bhagavatam came into being. The whole first canto is actually an introduction to the rest of the book. You see that the beginning of the second canto, the first shloka is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's a whole new beginning. Shukadev Goswami has entered the assembly of sages, sat on the Vyasasan. He's been accepted. He's going to be the speaker, and he starts the Bhagavatam. So this whole first canto is just like a prelude. And these first 7.5 chapters are the story of Narad, the story of the Bhagavatam's inception is there. And then from chapter 7 on, middle of chapter 7 onwards, we get Shukadev's Mahabharat, which ends the last several chapters on the birth of Parikit, who's the person who's going to hear the Bhagavatam, how he came to be in this position, being fasting to death on the bank of the Ganges with 7 days to live. So here we have the first prayers to Krishna in the Bhagavatam, practically. And it's by a woman, which is very special and nice and sweet. Krishna's aunt, who in this chapter, she reveals Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead very nicely in these beautiful prayers. And this is the first time we're actually seeing Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And it's the first time that Vrindavan is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And in the early days of ISKCON, they published this as a book, Prayers of Queen Kunti. Right? I don't know the year. But it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. These prayers are very famous. Govinda's not here, but he gave a nice class on Friday. He was talking about grammar, causative, dative, evocative, subjective, objective. It was very, very nice. We're so lucky to have such a wonderful scholar in our community. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Hare Krishna. So this slightly long purport, we'll just read it. Please try to be here and now and relish this moment in Krishna consciousness that you have, because the thing with the mind is always never in the present. The mind is always thinking of something in the future or the past, or daydreaming about material desires. So the whole process of yoga is to bring the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I will discuss this further. So here we are, the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Here are some of the specific symbolic marks on the spiritual body of the Personality of Godhead, which distinguish His body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but He is always distinct by His specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, the labor class, and the Dvija Bandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see Him as the Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Shudras, and Dvija Bandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of His transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as Pankajanabi. The Pankajanabi Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, His transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers. And there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees, always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras, and Dvija Bandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas establish such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Sudras and the women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, i.e. from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamaline, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangrihe. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gauda Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right from the very first verse of the Bhagavatam is enjoining us, Satcham Param Dhimahi, to meditate on Krishna. This is the whole system of spiritual life, is that the mind is taken from its material wranglings, mentioned here, to the personality of Godhead, because the jiva is eternally related to Krishna, connected to Krishna. The Brahma Samhita says that there is an eternal kinship with the Lord. We are part of Krishna's family. Bijamam sarvabhutanam. He's the supreme father. So the conditioned soul, he's very busy in this material world, thinking of everything but Krishna. And therefore, the whole point of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, seeing the deity, is to stop thinking of matter and to start thinking of Krishna. So right at the beginning of the second canto, Maharaj Pariksit asks, what about the people who are materially inclined? How will they understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Shukadev Goswami then tells him, oh, they meditate on the universal form, like that, the feet are the mountains, the ankles, the day and night is the blinking of his eyes, the sun and the moon are his eyes, the birds are his sense of artistry, etc., etc., this Vishvarup, this universal form. So Shukadev Goswami, they're getting anyone, trying to get everyone to at least try to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they'll say anything, Vishvarup, I'll meditate on this, or Akama Sava Kamava, you've got material desires, pray to Krishna for them. Because the impersonalists are in a very troublesome position, that they cannot have they don't have anything to meditate and think about. They just have this impersonalism, this Brahman, this non-differentiated, no qualities like that. So you see that now in the speculative world, because if you speculate forever about God, you come to this impersonal conception. This material world's not God, so God must be without variety, without form, without qualities. So therefore you see, now the biggest thing that's coming now is mindfulness. This is the buzzword all over the world. It's been pushed by governments and by media. They're teaching it in the schools in America, apparently. So this mindfulness is basically Vipassana Buddhism. It's basically Buddhism. And what it is, they get a little taste. They get some taste. What's the taste they get? They get some freedom from material thinking, just for some moments. So they're thinking about this, and they're work and all the trouble they've had in life and all their miseries and all their complaints. So when they do this mindfulness, they realize the mind is chattering away and they can get some relief from it by observing it as the self. And so when they get some relief from the mind's chattering, they think this is spiritual. Wow. Wow, get relief from all my material misery. I'm going to go and teach this meditation to the world. And they get fired up. And there's a million and one people who want to teach you this mindfulness, this negation of material thinking. But the devotees, they immediately begin at the process of meditating on Krishna. And they've got taste, spiritual taste, by this process. So we're in a very, very fortunate position. And this meditation on Krishna is very tasty. I was speaking to one person telling me about this mindfulness, trying to get them to understand the idea of spiritual taste. They didn't know what I meant. They couldn't conceive of spiritual taste. So this verse is there in the Bhagavad Gita, Visaya vinivartante nirahasya dehinam rasopyasya rasovajam param drishtva nivartate. This is such an important verse in Bhagavad Gita. Everyone should know it. And it'll mean different things to you as you progress in your Krishna consciousness. So the whole idea is that we are still attracted to the material world, but having getting a higher taste from practicing bhakti yoga, we are fixed in consciousness and we get a taste. Satyam tannama Krishna, what is that? Sitapya vidya pitopa tapta nasarasya nakrochikanu. Kintvadared anudinam kalusaiva jasta svadvikramad bhavati tad gadamula hantri. Rupa Goswami says that by chanting the sweet holy name of Krishna every day, one gradually develops a taste like that. So our whole business is to get taste. If we get taste in spiritual life, we can gradually leave the material world. Bhagavad Sukadeva Goswami says that one should meditate on the form of Krishna, beginning from the lotus feet, without denying the conception of the complete whole. Nothing else should be thought upon, nirvishaya. In this way, one gives up the process of thinking of sense gratification in this material world. And later on, he says that by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, one, that the meditating devotee destroys the mountain of sin stored in his mind. So I was speaking to this person again, I'll tell you this story, and he was saying, yeah, I'm getting bothered by, he's a retired English gentleman, nice man, and he practices a little Buddhist meditation. I gave him Bhagavad Gita about a year ago, said it was very difficult. He got to the second chapter. And then I brought him the Krishna book the other day, and he was like, oh, this is stories, great. I can read this, and he's already on chapter 2, which is something else, you know. So he said he still thinks of all the trouble he had at work, all the people who wronged him, all the people who tricked him or were nasty to him. You know, he's getting on to 60 years old and he's thinking about something that happened 30 years ago. So this is the thing with the uncontrolled mind. Uncontrolled mind is leading us from one life to another. This process of bhakti yoga means to stop that. Just think of Krishna. It's very, very simple. So what is the actual process of, what is the purpose of thinking of Krishna, meditating on Krishna? Is to purify the intelligence, purify the mind, and when the intelligence becomes purified, one recognizes that I'm part and parcel of Krishna, I want to give up this material world and go back home to Krishna. This is the gradual progression of material, of spiritual life, spiritual thinking. So do we do this meditation? Do we, when you join, do they come right, sit there, meditate on Krishna? Do we do that? Huh? Yes or no? Not usually. What do we do? What do we get told to do? Sit there and do what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So then the Nisinga Purana says, Agacha smaranam Vishnu bhavayase jasajate Ostaspatana Matrena Ketanatu Tatovaram says that the remembrance of Lord Vishnu certainly cuts sin to pieces. However, to achieve perfection in thinking of Lord Vishnu is very, very difficult. Therefore, there is the kirtan of the holy name, simply by moving the lips and the tongue. Kirtanatu Tatovaram. Therefore, kirtan is the supreme form of devotional service. And this is the same thing. Prabhupada says, you chant Hare Krishna is non-different from meditating on Radha and Krishna. So if we chant Hare Krishna and think of Radha, Krishna, think of Krishna, this is very good. But it's not that you should think of Krishna and stop listening to the mantra. You understand? Say I'm chanting my rounds and I'm not hearing the mantra and I'm thinking of Krishna. That's not good. So the art is to do both. You know? Hear the holy name and think of Krishna. So this is what will happen when you continue Krishna consciousness, is that you'll think of Krishna more and more. Sanatana Goswami says, think of Krishna when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're walking, when you're talking. This is the sum and substance or the essence of all Vedic knowledge, to always think of Krishna. What's that verse? Smartavya satatam Vishnu. To always remember Krishna and to never forget him. Sarvapadi vinimuktam tatparatpina nirmalam. This is only possible when one purifies the mind and intelligence. And Prabhupada says another interesting thing. I mean, this whole section, I just read last night that Prabhupada said the temples, here it says that the acharyas, they establish temples. And Prabhupada says these temples are centers of meditation, that anyone and everyone can come and meditate on the form of Krishna simply by taking darshan. And you see, even though Vedic culture is practically dead, Prabhupada said Vedic culture is like an elephant. It's very valuable, dead or alive. When the elephant is alive, it can do so much nice things. And when it's dead, you can take its ivory. It's very, very valuable. So Vedic culture, although dead, you see in India, you see here at Bhaktivedanta Man, all over the world, our temples are packed with people taking darshan. So this culture is very powerful and valuable. So by seeing the deity, if they are non-devotees, they still get some little punya like that. But if they begin to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then they begin to see the deity differently, having learnt who he is, who is Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all Vishnu. So these temples are... Prabhupada says they decrease the materialistic activities of the visitors. And the visitor to the temple, he gets the same taste as the yogi in the forest meditating on Vishnu. He gets the same taste so easily, like that. Prabhupada says here, there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. So sometimes when they come to the temple, there'll be a kirtan, right, if they're lucky, because sometimes we're all too busy to come to aarti and chant Hare Krishna. But if they're lucky, they'll devotee will be chanting Hare Krishna, so they'll hear the holy name. Sometimes they come for darshan. Now they move the Bhagavad Gita class to 6 p.m., right? You remember it was at 7:30. It should be at 6 p.m. Now it is, because people who come for 7 o'clock arti, they come a little early, they sit down, and then they hear some Bhagavad Gita. It's really funny when you're giving class to them, because a lot of them, they didn't come for class, they just come for darshan. But now they had to sit and listen to Bhagavad Gita class, and they're like this. And it's so painful for their egos to actually have to listen to something. But you can get their attention sometime, and they get a little advanced. Little progressive. So this Krishna book, we've just beautiful copy that's just been printed this December. Absolutely gorgeous copy. We should get them to read Krishna book and make some progress in becoming attached to Krishna. Maya sakta mana pata. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, with your mind attached to me, practice this Krishna consciousness. This is the secret. with your mind attached to Krishna. Acharyas have explained that in the beginning, one gets taste from service, but later on, one gets taste from Krishna, from thinking of Krishna. So this Pankaja, this lotus, is very, very famous, and it's very glorious because Krishna constantly is referred to by this wonderful flower. If you go to Vrindavan, you see the flower garland wallers, they are selling now lotus flowers, pink lotus garlands. Giant, giant garlands. And they come from Kanpur, which is about 5 hours north of Vrindavan. By the bank of the Ganges, they are growing lotus flowers there. And they bring them to Vrindavan. And sometimes you see Radha Shyama Sunda, Krishna Balaram decorated with these beautiful lotus garlands. And if you ever touch a lotus flower, it's very, very cool. It's like extraordinarily cool. Much cooler than touching a rose petal or some other flower. The lotus has got this cooling quality, quite extraordinary. And here the poetry of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna's glance is as cooling as a lotus flower. Prabhupada said, if you offer one flower to Krishna, make him happy, then your whole life is successful. Like that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or points of discussion?